Wollstonecraft's book was very positively received back in Britain. It was predictably positively received by the sort of liberal circles that Wollstonecraft had always moved in when she was in England. Women like Mary Hayes, who had come out of a similar dissenting background, immediately enthused about its representations of nature, and also, I think, enthused about the vision it showed us of a woman, a feeling woman, but a woman who, with her feelings, was capable of going out and living in the world and asking what Wollstonecraft herself calls men's questions. William Godwin, the philosopher who was soon afterwards to become Wollstonecraft's husband, famously said that it was a book that would make any reader fall in love with its author. The young poets Coleridge and Southey seem to have responded very, very positively to the descriptions of nature. Even the conservative reviews, they don't like Wollstonecraft's interest in contemporary politics. They don't like the lack of mention of religious institutions. They do recognise, at least, the power of the emotional response. They also see it as a kind of morality tale. They see Wollstonecraft, those conservative reviews, who's somebody in the passages writing about her feelings for her daughter, who's learnt the importance of what contemporaries would have called the domestic affections and put aside her interest in the men's world of politics to a degree, because, as I've said, they have to acknowledge that Wollstonecraft is still powerfully interested in the contemporary state of European politics throughout. Godwin's responses are recorded in his memoir of his wife, who died only a couple of years after the book came out, died giving birth to the future Mary Shelley. Godwin, perhaps foolishly, certainly naively, I think, in that memoir gave a lot of details of Wollstonecraft's love life, her relationship with the painter Fuseli in the early 1790s, which may or may not have been a sexual one, and a relationship with Gilbert Imlay, which was the basis of her trip to Scandinavia, out of which she had produced an illegitimate child, the child Fanny, who she travelled with. And these details are what really destroyed Wollstonecraft's reputation. Her life really was then read as a morality tale of a kind of almost divine punishment. Her early death was seen as what will inevitably happen to somebody who steps outside conventional morality and a woman who tries to live in an independent way. Even 20 years after the book's published, a poem is brought out called The Wanderer in Norway by a Scottish academic who's worried that the female members of his family and acquaintances are interested in the story of Wollstonecraft, and he brings this poem out to show the fate of young women who express too much of a desire for independence. And for him, the whole story of the trip to Denmark, Sweden and Norway is a story of a kind of lost soul wondering and worrying about her fate, cast out from everyday society. When in fact, you know, this is a woman who in Denmark gets an audience with the Danish Prime Minister, goes around asking men's questions, is sent out by her former lover on a very serious business trip to recover stolen silver. Although the book is an emotional book, it's not at all a record of a lost soul. It is a record of somebody trying to find out their place in the world. But that, I think, is very much part of the whole Wollstonecraftian experiment with trying to find a place for a woman in a contemporary society, or European societies more generally.